Let's all stand to our feet in deference to God's word as we give great regards to such. Our text, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from those things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Last things, a case review. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're near the end of Holy Scripture. And God, we see a rather amazing text. Father, we realize that this is very, very serious, that is solemn, that is to be heard and heeded. Now, Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. In order to thrive, most of us admittedly need structure, and the Lord is ever pleased to provide such. Case in point, the book of Revelation can appear to be challenging to understand, but there is structure in this book that will enhance one's understanding. In this book, there are a series of seven. Seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, and seven last things. And along with that, there are four visions. The vision of the Son of Man among the churches, the vision of the seven sealed scrolls, the vision of the return of Christ, and the vision of a new heaven and a new earth. The study of last things is referred to as eschatology. And simply stated, the book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and true to form, it is packed with last things. But why? God reveals to us future events to have a present and permanent effect upon us. The presentation of last things is intended to make a lasting impression on us that should be unforgettable. So after reading this chapter, someone should be able to look at you and comment, "You look as though you have seen a ghost." Your response should be, "No, I saw the books." The Bible clearly teaches that we're living in the last days. If you believe it, raise both hands before God. Please understand, Satan has the world exactly where he wants it. You see, he is the prince of darkness. He is small letter G, the god of this age and world. Through Adam's fall, Satan has dominion over the earth. And what is creepy, what is disturbing, is that many churches are closed, but hell is open. Churches that are open, attendance is scarce, but hell is bursting at the seams. Many churches have virtual gatherings, shutdowns, but hell never shuts down, and it has exclusive in-person gathering. In hell, there is no concern about the presidential election, no concern about the next Supreme Court justice, no concern about a vaccine, no concern about mail-in ballots. All that is heard in hell are obscenities, cursings, the blaspheming of God's holy name. Damned souls cry out, "God be!" May I ask you a question this morning? Where is your soul? In heaven, there is the seraphim, literally burning ones, souls that burn with zeal, adoration, and praise of God. Does your soul burn with praise, adoration, and zeal of God? Or is your soul cold, apathetic, indifferent, and non-responsive to God. Souls in hell are inflamed with the blaspheming of God's holy name. These are the last days, and the book of Revelation is the book of last things. This may be my last sermon before my soul leaves you, before the Holy Spirit ushers my soul away. If you never see me again, if you never hear from me again, let it be known, I serve God who is, that was, and is to come. Let the church say amen. Your soul ought to be troubled this morning. The world is becoming more hellish and more devilish. Churches are closed. Hell is opened. Let's examine our text here, Revelation chapter 20. Notice with me verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. In this morning's message, last things, a case review, let's examine the court proceedings and case presented here, Revelation chapter 20. The first point I want you to notice, jot down point number one, the witness, the witness. The witness to this court proceedings is none other than the Apostle John. Therefore, what we have in front of us is apostolic testimony. We are therefore to receive this testimony as the very testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 16, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So we have apostolic testimony of the Apostle John, and whoever hears John hears Christ. Let the church say amen. Remember, the book of Revelation is a book of sevens. In the Hebrew, the word for seven is shavah. A covenant is to seven oneself. A covenant involves the making of an oath to swear to God. The Apostle John is under divine oath to give truthful testimony to the court proceedings he actually witnessed in a vision from God. To contextualize the time frame, those who stand at this great white judgment are those who are raised in the second resurrection. There is the resurrection of the just and the unjust, the resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous. The resurrection of the righteous precedes the resurrection of the damned or the wicked. In short, if you are unsaved, you will be raised in the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of the damned, the condemned. Not only do we have the witness of John, but secondly, we have, jot this down, the judge. The great white throne judgment is awesome, but more awesome than the great white throne judgment is the one who sits upon the throne, God himself. The judgment will take place neither in heaven nor upon the earth. It will take place at the very throne of God. The just God, true to himself, must administer justice. Sin is against an eternal being. We sin against God. God is eternal. Therefore, every offense, every transgression, every sin against God, the penalty is eternal because God is eternal. Christ, the eternal Son of God, was the only one who could atone for the wages of sin, which are eternal. The penalty of sin is eternal, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let the church say amen. The last thing is the most important thing, your salvation. Finally, John gives his testimony regarding the sentencing. All whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death is certain. Sentencing is final. Churches are closed. Hell is open. As a Christian, you ought to be sick to your stomach because you know there's something wrong. I know something is wrong. This world is becoming more hellish and more devilish, and the churches are closed, and hell is open. And if you're not careful, you will become accustomed to a new normal that doesn't include the worship of God in the place of God. You see, beloved, is your heart open to Christ? Open to holiness? Open to sanctity, open to saintly living, a devout follower of Jesus Christ. It's nothing more, it's nothing less. But Pastor, why did you mention these last things? Listen to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 from the Expanded Bible Translation. It reads thusly. But cowards, the fearful, those who refuse to believe, those who are without faith, who do evil, vile, detestable things, those who kill, who sin sexually, who do evil magic, sorcery, who worship idols, and tell lies, all those will have a place, their part, in the lake burning with sulfur. This is the second death. Today is the day of salvation. The book of Revelation, the last book, packed with last things. And whoever thought they would live to see a day in which churches have been shut down for 8 months and show no signs of opening indefinitely? These are Let's stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let us stand. Father, just before we thought we have seen it all, we see things we thought we would never see. God, these are dark times. Churches are closed. Those that are open, scarce attendance, and yet hell is bursting at the seams. By sheer numbers of those that are in hell, it seems as though people have no fear of going to hell. But many are fearful to come to church. God, you know. I don't know, but God, you know. Let the church say amen. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know, but God knows. Let the church say amen. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know, but God knows. Let the church say amen. You see, there are some things in life you just don't and cannot understand. The Bible, of course, is our saying, we'll understand it better by and by. I don't know about you, but I thank God I'm saved. I thank God I'm a Christian. I feel like shouting. When it comes to Jesus, I have no regrets. He's done me no harm. He does me no evil. He's only been good to me. And on top of that, he saved my soul. Somebody ought to say, hallelujah! 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 Shout hallelujah! Your souls ought to be thankful. Shout hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Don't be ashamed to thank the Lord! Thank you, Lord! Look what God has saved you from.